on Audio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write on Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. Write On Audio writing tips, inspiring your writing by sharing tips from prominent authors. Our writing tips this month come from our editor, author and poet Madeline White, and poet and broadcaster Mab Jones. Madeline and Mab are in discussion around poetry and staying true to your voice, even in the face of commercial considerations. Mab Jones has published two poetry collections and has worked as a presenter for BBC Radio 4, especially on programmes related to Welsh themes and content. She has won a number of awards, including the John Tripp Spoken Poetry Audience Prize, the Aurora Poetry Competition, the Jeff Stevens Memorial Poetry Prize, and the Rabbit Heart Poetry Film Festival Grand Jury Prize. As well as being the founding editor of Write On, Madeline White has two published books, a novel and a poetry collection. Over to Madeline and Mab.
Hi. I'm Madeline, magazine publisher and editor. I've produced national and international web and print magazines, creating a voice for those without one, such as Nina Arak for the World Bank, and of course, as founder editor of Write On since 2019. I've written professionally and creatively since 2018, when I wrote Speculative Mother of Floods, my debut, which published by Crow's Nest, and then my debut poetry collection, The Horse and the Girl, published by Lapwing in 2022. I've always been used to writing with purpose, an external purpose linked to financial reward, but also recognition of success. And as a journalist and consultant around marketing and communications, this was achievable. But as a creative writer and poet, it's a different matter. So I'd come to a really low ebb last September, and I hadn't written creatively for over 2 years, which is when I reached out to Mab, who joins me today, and to basically participate in her online writing course, Changes. And just in a nutshell, I found myself responding to her prompt almost immediately. And from there, developed a strong inner purpose, which led me to completing the second poetry collection in a period of just under 4 months. And within that, we touched base a couple of times, Mab and I, and started discussing poetry, writing for an audience, an inner and outer purpose. And I realized that this would make a great subject for a Writer's Tips podcast. So I thought it would be a really good idea to have Mab join me and talk about some of these things. And of course, Mab Jones is a hugely established poet in her own right. She's been quoted as being a unique talent by The Times, author of three poetry collections, winner of various accolades, including prizes, presented programmes on Radio 4, written for The New York Times. She teaches at Cardiff University, and so on and so forth. But I know with Mab, at her core is writing with purpose and trying to give to the world as it has given to her. We started by talking about being seekers, but I thought it would be interesting, Mab, if we could chat a little bit about actually what poetry is in the first place within all this. What are your thoughts?
Thank you so much for your lovely introduction. I feel like I'm the most famous poet no one's ever heard of. What is poetry? So this is a question I don't think anyone has really sufficiently answered. And poetry being such a unique individual thing, people can give their own answers on that as well. I read a definition of poetry which said it was prose plus. So it's prose plus a lot of different techniques, such as, you know, alliteration and assonance and rhyme and so on. All those techniques you try and put into your verse, even if you're writing on a, you know, blank page, not within a form. Beyond that, what do I personally think? Well, beyond techniques and what it looks like on the page, I believe that it's individual, but actually it's collective. And I do feel that there's a kind of collective subconscious, maybe more than that. When you write individually, perhaps it's in terms of, you would think in terms of emotional inks, Because I definitely have written from anger and I've definitely written from sadness.
Yeah.
Then beyond that, there's this nebulous thing called inspiration. And I wonder where does that come from? And I think of that maybe as beyond those inks, like maybe it's a deeper thing, maybe it's a higher thing, I'm not sure. But definitely I think it's an intangible, abstract, maybe spiritual thing that we're talking about here. That's the impetus for poetry. And then that comes through the emotions, and then we're working out our own feelings about things, our own thoughts, our own complexities. We're in conversation with our deeper selves, our past selves. We're in conversation with other poets, and we're just trying to work things out. That's how I always feel, trying to work things out rather than, you know, as I do in the day job, sell a thing or promote a thing or, you know, give a reason for a thing. I mean, you can do that in poetry as well, and I have noticed a trend towards that. And then I've been writing these poems which I feel are anti-poetry because they're against marketing, marketing of the self as well.
I so agree with you on that. And I think that comes back to kind of what I was saying in the introduction, that inner purpose versus outer purpose. So the outer purpose is kind of the marketing, reaching the audience, you know, this promotion, so you get out to as many people as possible. But actually, unless you tap into that inner purpose, and, you know, you spoke about the spiritual purpose, I also think when we were speaking earlier, we were both talking about how we'd connected through poetry, how that seemed to be our language of finding, you know, a tribe and finding recognition in each other. So that so resonates with me. But I do wonder, and especially since you've been seeing a trend around this, in terms of, you know, people almost writing more for an audience, how compatible do you think that kind of poetic writing, that inner purpose poetic writing we were talking about, how compatible do you think that is within this kind of, you know, this need for the kind of publisher driven marketing, you know, reaching outwards? That juxtaposition seems to be quite an uneasy one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone gets into poetry because they want to make money.
No.
But it is nice to have your poems read.
Yeah.
You know, and it, because it's about that connection. And no one expects to be famous because there are no famous poets, really, not really. Who has my mum heard of in poetry world? No one.
Yeah.
Not even
yeah.
Simon Armitage. She has heard of Pam Eyres, full yeah. stop. That is the end of that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And our competition is Netflix and Nintendo and streaming and TikTok and so on. We can't compete with that. This is a visual age. Poetry is the opposite of visual, the very opposite. And poetry, going back to that spiritual aspect, someone asked me recently what poetry was. And to summarize, I feel that it is the soul. It is the soul. And that's really very unfashionable at the moment. Don't want to talk about that. But that's what poets are doing. However, you can be more popular or less popular as a poet. Poetry in and of itself, in its own terms, is quite hierarchical. And who's the audience then? Other poets.
Yeah.
That's one thing to think about and discuss. But I started as a performance poet, and you can then appeal to members of the public, so people who are not poets. But you can fall into the trap of self-marketing and also, you know, having to write very similar sounding things. And yes, writing things that appeal to an audience. And I feel that that can be kind of a trap. So I, you know, did do that. And I found I didn't like repeating myself a lot. And I also wasn't really developing as a writer.
Yeah.
Because performance poetry is, you know, it's more popular maybe than paid poetry because non-poets are more likely to engage with it because you'll just go to a public space and force it on them, perhaps. But, you know, the most popular form of poetry, as far as I'm concerned, is rap. And that's incredibly popular. And
yeah.
performance poetry is a little bit more than that. But, you know, it's difficult because you can end up writing something which is more, it feels more like a job and it feels
yeah.
more like a task. I was resident writer in a comedy club for a couple of years. You know, I had to write something It had to be accessible, i.e. in a sort of rhyming format usually. It had to be funny. And after a couple of years, I didn't really want to do that anymore. And after a few more years, I didn't want to be a performance poet anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people, like Luke Wright, can make a really great living out of that, and they're happy to do it. But I've even noticed with Luke Wright, he can write other things. He does write other things. But when it comes to his work, he has to write those kind of more crowd-pleasing pieces, and then he has to tour them around. And I just think, I don't want what I want to do. Marketing is my day job. And I often feel poetry is the it's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
For me, the ink is opposite. The ink is my deep personal self. You know,
yeah.
It's those emotions, and it's my soul. So I don't want to turn it into a hashtag. And I don't
really
want to
love, I really love the idea of something you said earlier, and you've come up with that word again, poetry as soul, or poetry being the soul. And that reminds me of a poem I read years ago, which had a massive impact on me. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand, and it's all about this old violin being auctioned off cheap. And at the end of the poem is the worth of a soul. What is the worth of a soul? And I think that worth of a soul, that's something that in our very commercially driven, materialistic world, we kind of forget. And I love that idea of our kind of ink, our personal ink, you know, the lifeblood ink, that ink of the soul, sharing itself and writing itself. And that comes back again to kind of finding your tribe and those connections. I'm really interested, as you know, my background is marketing. And as I said in the introduction, is marketing, commercial and branding. And I started my life as a journalist and writing for, you know, a number of bigger publications in the long term. The first big piece I wrote was for the Evening Standard. And it was, my father was bipolar, and it was actually about his first attack. And that was something that was kind of lifeblood, soul writing, but it was kind of set within the commercial framework because a film had just come out featuring Robert De Niro around it. So that kind of commercial mindset and that commercial style of writing, I reading the market, you know, your day job bleeding into your creative work. Do you think that commercial mindset can crowd out the creative?
I think it can if you let it. Better or worse, I am quite good at selling things, and I always have been. And I have sold things as a job. Like, I've been in sales. I've done telesales, you know, to pay off my student debts. You know, I sold timeshare. And I remember as a young child, because I wasn't born into a very wealthy family, maybe there is then a sort of an impetus to better yourself, which I haven't got that strongly, otherwise I'd be really well off now. But I've always had a sort of entrepreneurial spirit a bit.
Yeah.
And when I was a freelance poet, you know, I've got a part-time job in the NHS now at the moment. You know, I always did like a sort of side hustle before that was even a thing, because I had to survive, because even if you're a sort of touring poet, you can't really live by that, or I couldn't. So I was always, you know, I'd buy vintage items and sell them, or I'd make jewellery and sell it on, and I was always doing a little something to kind of make some money to pay the bills. So I've got this, and I've done marketing as a job for more than 15 years on and off. And that's what my day job is at the moment, essentially. So I'm quite good at putting a spin on things, you know, and I'm doing the CIPR certificate at the minute, which is the Chartered Institute of Public Relations certificate. So I'm, you know, honing my selling skills. I could be an agent. I thought about being an agent for others, because I am quite good at seeing how you could sell.
Yeah.
Literature.
It's probably
more difficult for me to sell my own things, to be honest, because I'm too close to them, but I still can see where they might go and how they might be described and what the hashtags might be on social media, this sort of thing. But I've got to put that side of me away, that kind of marketeer side. I think when I write, what I'm really trying to do is have a joyful feeling more and more.
Yeah.
You know, when I started, I was writing things which were trying to work out my difficult childhood, perhaps. That was the start of that. But I'm kind of through a lot of that now. And I think more and more, I don't want anger or sadness. I want, which might even turn into a kind of selling of a point of view. You know, I'm the, I don't know, I'm the angry poet, or I'm the weeping poet, or reliving a trauma over and over and over again. I don't want to box myself in. I think more and more, because there are so few poems that are about joy. But when I write, that's the kind of feeling that I really like the most, that kind of being absorbed into it. And I do write in every form, and I can write every day. Can't write poetry every day. But I think I can have that joyous feeling, and that can be from just the creative act in and of itself, I think. It doesn't have to be an uplifting piece, but you can become really absorbed in it. You can really enjoy playing with the themes or playing with your characters, working it out. And that's what I really try and do, you know, more and more, rather than working out difficulties.
That's really interesting, because this discussion is about writer's tips and how to kind of, for me, that kind of writing with purpose and the, you know, the juxtaposition of the creative and commercial mindset. So I think that point you've made there of writing with joy and actually having that as your on-off switch as towards your creative practice, that sense of the fact that you are creating and that act of creation is joyful. Maybe that's the kind of, you know, the switch we should reach for in our writing practice. Because I know, like you, you know, I write every day in terms of my day job, but actually that kind of emotional on-off switch that kind of links to, well, what is creative writing and what is, you know, the more kind of day job commercial mindset. I think that's quite challenging, and I think it can also have the impact with me, certainly. My confidence absolutely crashed, and I think that can have a real knock-on impact on kind of your entire writing world. Mm-hmm. So having that kind of on-off switch, or kind of having some kind of process around that, I think would be very helpful. Is there anything else that you might add to that idea around, you know, the writing with joy creatively, mm-hmm. in terms of how that switch might look like?
I think maybe don't even judge yourself on the writing with joy. I mean, they say just write, don't they? So many writers are like, just put pen to paper and do it. And I think it doesn't really matter if you're working it out, you know, working out internal things, because some of my writing still is that, and it's always going to be that. Some of it is still those childhood things, and that can't be helped. Because so many poets, I think, are poets because of things that have happened to them in the past. I've met so many poets with these difficulties. You know, and again, trauma now, it seems to be like that's a bit of a hashtag maybe, but for better or worse, I've met so many poets who this is how they became poets, because they had been broken in some way and they had to work it out. And in the working out, maybe they did find poetry as a kind of an outlet, a way of thinking about things and a way of connecting to themselves.
It comes back to that idea of kind of hashtag trauma, hashtag victim, versus actually how do you move beyond that? And I think some of, you know, and I think this isn't just to do with poetry either, it's actually to do with boxing in your writing. So many publishers like to have, this is the genre you write in, this is the kind of thing that is written. And I think listening to you, and I found that too, it's kind of quite easy to kind of get typecast as a particular kind of, you know, writer, author, poet, performer. And I think one of the things that's come through very strongly from this conversation is be true to yourself, be willing to change as your soul is changing, as you are changing. But I wonder within that, that comes back to writing with purpose and that inner purpose and that outer purpose. So I know certainly for me, as with you, you know, I had some very difficult aspects of my childhood. And so actually using poetry and using writing to work through some of that has been really important, but do I necessarily want to be typecast as someone who hashtag trauma, hashtag victim in order to get published or become, you know, more commercially known? And I would say not necessarily. I don't think I would want that bleeding heart on my sleeve and to be judged as that. So but that maybe, in itself, that's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, but maybe we are not the ones who should be thinking about that, because that's not actually our job.
Yeah.
That's the job of the agent and the publisher. And it's difficult, because if you're good at marketing and selling things and promoting things, and you can kind of see an angle and a way to connect, it is another form of connection marketing. It's not like this evil, cold-hearted thing. It's something that, you know, promotes and gives a platform and supports things. The difficulty can be to kind of have that hat on at the same time, because you do need it on when you've finished your work, you package it up, you start thinking of where to put it. You need to write a blurb. You need to, you know, write that cover letter to an agent or to a publisher to explain what the poems are about. So it's really useful to have those skills at that time. But I think if you do it too early, or and especially if you have that hat on when you're writing the poem, it can be a block, you know, and you might be tempted to write something towards that marketing strategy. Maybe it's better not to have the marketing strategy in mind while you're writing, difficult as it is. So if there are two hats, you put that poet, you put that hat aside, which I can do to a degree, you know, I can. But then I've also got loads of unpublished poems, and you've got to be happy with that. Then you're going to have poems that go nowhere, because they're nothing to do with a strategy. They're not going to be in a book. You know, in my Google Calendar, I have some selected like deadlines for submissions and competitions. And I try with some of them, if I've got enough time and I've got enough inspiration, to write something to that theme, or to that, you know, whatever they want. But I can't always do it, and I don't beat myself up if I can't hit that goal.
Yeah.
Because you can write to, you know, on demand to a degree, but we are not an on-demand service, really.
Yeah.
You know, talking about not writing for years, you've also got to accept poetry in particular, more than prose, I think, because I write prose as well, and I can bash that out.
Yeah. You know,
in some form every day. And I've done copywriting, and I can do that every day. And I've got a prose book coming out this year. But poetry, it's a long-term game, and you might go through periods where you are a fallow field and there's nothing growing, and you've got to just accept, because it's scary when that happens. And I first time I had that happen, it was a year and a half. Nothing. Didn't write anything, no poems, zero. And you're like, am I even a poet anymore if I'm not doing anything? But that's when things are really, that's when things are really mulching down under the ground, and you've just got to accept that this is, you know, a good thing. And it doesn't matter if you're not productive, if you're not producing, because poetry is the opposite of a job, the opposite of capitalism.
I really love that idea, and that links so strongly into, you know, I am naturally, I want to be doing, I want to be busy, but actually, and I think that's where kind of the world is driving us as well, but actually sometimes, and what you've just said, I think it's so important, just being is okay, you know, and mulching down and allowing the inner roots to grow and kind of connecting to things that matter, to kind of sow that field so there is new growth and there's a new way forward. And so that being rather than doing, I think is a really, if we're looking at writer's tips, I think is a really important one. And I think that acceptance of that, again, I really struggled. I really, really struggled with that, because as I say, for me, it was more or less 2 years before I really started writing creatively again. And that acceptance is really difficult, because if you want to be doing all the time, it's kind of a sense of failure that, and that imposter syndrome that always sits there anyway. But I think the other thing that I found really helpful in terms of tips was when you mentioned about timing. And, you know, actually being aware of the fact that a commercial mindset is needed, but actually putting that on when you're writing the blurb or reaching out rather than when you're actually writing the work and letting that work come authentically from that field you've sown, because that is part of your inner self. So that sense of timing, when to switch that marketing hat on and when to take that off, I think that's incredibly helpful. And that actually leads to my final question, which is, do we need to switch one part off to connect to the other bit of us? Based on what you said, they're not really mutually exclusive, but I know I find in terms of editing, it's really, really hard to switch that part of my brain off, to just let the creativity flow.
I think when you're writing one piece, I hope other people can switch off that sort of marketing and editing brain. I can. I don't know to what degree other people can, but I really enjoy word games and that sort of thing. And I try and have the same feeling when I'm writing more and more, because I love arrow words so much, and little puzzles that you get in the eye paper and this sort of thing. And I think, you know, that joyous feeling, it isn't always about that, but I just want to be in the moment with the piece. And editing is a different thing. It's a more critical part of me. And I do try and switch that critical part of me off. I think I'm quite good at that, though. And that's how I've got so many terrible poems in books and in files. I think then if you write another piece and then that's on a similar theme, and then you write another piece, you know, part of your brain is going to start saying, well, this could be a pamphlet or this could be a collection. And you might then start writing poems which are to that theme. And I think that's fine as well. And you shouldn't not do that, because marketing and self-promotion can be a form of creativity, and it's got your own best interest at heart. And you want to connect, and therefore you want to put your poems into the world. And I don't like this sort of dualistic thinking which says marketing bad, pure poetry so spiritual and good. Everything is spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, we are spiritual beings having this physical experience. And if you've got the skills to do marketing, you know, I think they can be used. I think it's just difficult when you have a blank piece of paper and you're writing something on demand, but you can still even do that. So it's difficult to say when you switch it off. Don't know, it would be case by case, because definitely with the poems I'm writing at the minute, the original ones had no thought of where they would go, you know, where they would end up, what they would be. And they've got it. I would say they're the better poems. And then some of them I've been writing to that theme, and it's more difficult. I find it more difficult. Sometimes they go a bit wrong. I'm like, that's not going to work. So I don't know, because some people might feel the opposite. They might feel that that kind of intuitive piece is the less readable one. So I think maybe it's case by case. I'm not sure. But for me, definitely. But I think that also comes with practice, because I've been doing this for 15 years now. You know, done a lot of learning along the way, and a lot of reading, and a lot of all that stuff we're meant to do as poets.
I think so, that's so true. And I think certainly in terms of, you know, that kind of marketing switch kind of still being there to some degree, I think that's quite a useful thing as well. I remember when I submitted my first collection, which some of the poems from Mother Maiden Crone, the first unpublished collection, it never went anywhere, and I submitted it and I got feedback and said, there's some really great poems in here, but we don't see the connecting thread. And that feedback was actually really useful for me, because that actually, you know, that allowed me to kind of recognize that I really liked narrative poetry, that I liked poetry that told stories and that actually connected from beginning to end in one way or another. So that feedback was actually very helpful. And so even though there were some poems in there that were written with no thought in mind of any kind of place or marketing place, actually understanding how it fitted together was really helpful. Is there anything you would like to finish off with in terms of this writer's tips for our Write On listeners?
I think, you can absorb a lot of these tips and you might see someone as an authority and someone else as less of an authority. But at the end of the day, it's a fun game that we monkeys who wear clothes are playing. And it's important, poetry, it's important work, but also it's unimportant. And I think, I don't know, just find your own way. And when it comes to authority, accept that you are your own authority. And these tips, you can take them or leave them, but find what works for you. Your voice is important and your pen is important, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Just find your own way. I'm not the voice of poetry by any means, so this has been helpful. Great. If not, that's also good, but just keep writing and you'll find out what you need to know along the way. I think it's a journey, definitely.
Thank you to Mab Jones and Madeline White for sharing these writing tips. We'll share details and links so you can find out more about Mab and Madeline in our show notes. We're always delighted to read your contributions, so if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.